This is Digital Story Podcast number 604, October 3rd, 2017. Today's theme is the joy of LED lighting. I'm Derek Story. I'm working on a series of studio portrait shoots for a project and have been leaning heavily on my LED lights. They have been serving me well both in the studio and on location. And I thought now would be a good time to revisit this affordable, versatile lighting solution. And that's the focus of today's show. So I still remember the first LED panel that I bought. And it was a while back. It was probably about 6 or 7 years ago. And it was at a trade show. I think it was WPPI. And I was there working for LowPro, and they had, you know, a working deal with, I think, Midwest Photo, because Midwest Photo was selling our bags for us at that time there at the show. And so I could get a discount with Midwest Photo, which was very exciting. So I went over there, and I knew I wanted an LED light. I wanted one of those LED panels that go in the hot shoe on top of your DSLR. Boy, that would be nice. A little fill light, a little bit for video. I could use it for all sorts of stuff. And they weren't very big. I mean, they were what, probably 4 inches by 3 inches, something like that. And run by 4 AA batteries. And no color adjustment or anything, but you did have variable lighting, which was very nice. And I paid $260 for it. And that was a deal. And I was happy. I was thrilled. $260 for this little, very little LED panel that went on top of my camera. Now, I will have to say that it was very well made. I still have it. And for example, when you ratchet down the intensity of the light, it doesn't flicker. So, I mean, it's good stuff. It's got a good little board in there and it's got good lights. And like I said, to this day, I'm still using it. However, a lot has changed in the world of LED lighting since I bought that first little panel for my DSLR. And now I'm relying a lot on LED lights. In fact, given a choice, I'm going to pick LED lighting over flash strobe 95% of the time. Really, unless there's a compelling reason why I need the strobe, I'm going to go with the LED lighting. And my favorite LED light right now, the one that I lean on the most, is Generay, G-E-N-A-R-A-Y. It's an LED panel. It's got 312 bulbs in it. It's a 7100T, and it's a variable color light. So it has that wonderful, I love these, has that wonderful knob where you can go from very warm light to very cool light and then everything in between. And the panel isn't very big. I mean, it's probably 10 inches long by about 4 or 5 inches tall. As I mentioned earlier, it's got 312 bulbs, has nice output, has its own diffuser panel, which I think is very cool. It comes with 2 batteries, it comes with a charger and a nice case, and the whole kit's $189, and that's a pretty good value, I think. I believe that I bought it on special, so I think I got it a little less than that. But even now at $189, I think that's a terrific price. And I do have the link to it in the show notes. So if you want to take a look at the specific model that I'm talking about, the link will be there in the show notes. Now, you also notice if you start shopping around, you're going to see LED panels about this size and maybe even a little bigger for a lot less. A company called Newer, I see them selling panels for like $59, $69, stuff like that. Now, the reason why I'm not recommending those panels isn't because they're not good. It's just that I don't know. I just haven't tested them. My guess is that they're not quite as durable as the lights that I'm using right now, because I do use them for location shoots too. And I'm going to talk more about that in a little bit. So that would probably be my guess, that they're just not as, you know, solidly made. If you're just getting into LEDs, who knows? It might, you know, might be worth rolling the dice on those. Another LED light that I like a lot is called a Flapjack. It's a round LED light. It's made by Photodio, F-O-T-O-D-I-O-X. And I don't know, is it Photodiox? I think it's Photodio. But at any rate, That's why I spell it. Right? And it's lovely. And the one that I have is like 9 inches. It's a disc. It's like 9-inch disc. It's got built-in diffusion, and the lights are around the edge, and it's a really soft light. And it has variable adjustment, and you can get them with the color adjustment too. And they're really good for fill light on the off side, opposite the main light, or for hair lights, for product photography, all that kind of stuff. Just really handy. And all these LED lights that I have, they all fit in a pouch that's about the size of my camera bag. So when I'm on location, they're very easy to carry with me. I use them for video work. I use them for product photography. I use them for portraits. Use them for just about everything. So I thought, well, since I'm having such a great time with these and I'm depending on them so much, I thought maybe I'd give you 5 reasons why I'm preferring these LED lights to portable strobe. And now I do carry a portable flash with me in my camera bag, in my commercial bag, because, you know, sometimes you need them, right? And I have a little off-camera cord and all that. But given a choice, I'm going for the LED light. And I have 5 reasons why, and we'll get to those right now. The first reason why I prefer LED to strobe is that continuous lighting and a broad source. So this is actually a combo reason. Continuous lights are just so much more fun. You know, what you see is what you get. Now, the other thing that I like about them compared to a flash is that the surface area of light is bigger. And we know the rule, right, for soft lighting. This is particularly true for portraits and product photography. The larger the light source, the closer to the subject, the softer the light. So a strobe, that has a little flash head that's just, you know, whatever, 1 inch by 1/2 inch or whatever, that is a very small surface area. And then, of course, if we're standing back 6 or 8 feet, that's quite a distance from the subject. And that's going to be a very harsh light. And we know what those look like, right? Whereas an LED panel is, you know, whatever, 10 inches by 5 inches or bigger, a much larger source. I put a diffusion panel on them all the time. They usually come with a diffusion panel. And because I don't have to sync them or have a cord or any of that kind of stuff because they're continuous light, I can put them right up next to the subject and stand back 10 feet and have the light right next to the subject. So then I'm getting a bigger surface area closer to the subject, which is better light. Again, for both products and people. So that one reason, I mean, we could probably stop at number one, and I would have been sold right there. But I love the continuous light source, and I can use it in all sorts of different situations. And I love it that it's a bigger light source than a strobe. The next thing that I really like with the latest generation of LED lighting is that they're color adjustable. So they go, you know, from a very cool light to a very warm light and everything in between. I mean, you just turn a dial and it goes a little warmer. You turn it the other way, it goes a little cooler, that kind of thing. And I particularly love this on location shoots. I do a lot of shooting for a commercial enterprise where, you know, we're inside an office, we're inside a warehouse, we're inside of something that doesn't have natural light. It has artificial light. What I do is I just match my LED lighting as close as I can to the ambient lighting. And then that way everything is one color temperature or within a range of color temperature. So then in post, I only have to make one correction and everything falls into place. And oh, that is so nice. Then again, if you want to do effects, if you really want to warm up your subject or really cool off your subject for any particular reason, you can do that. Just turn the knob. There are no gels to put over flash heads, you know, none of that kind of stuff. You don't have to fool with any of that at all. All you do is just turn a knob, get the color temperature that you want. I usually hold my hand up in front of the LED light and just watch the color of the light on my hand. And when it looks like what I want, then I know I'm there and off to the races I go. So being color adjustable, and I highly recommend if you haven't purchased an LED light yet that you do get one that is color temperature adjustable. You will love it. You will love it. It's just so very, very nice. The third thing that I like is a long battery life. The LEDs do not draw a lot of power, so I charge up my batteries before the shoot. I make sure I have charged batteries when I head out or when the subject comes over to the studio. I turn on the lights, I start working, and when the shoot is over, when we finished up, I turn off the lights, and there's still juice left in the battery. Now, it'll go down halfway or three quarters or whatever over the course of a reasonable shoot, but I don't run out of juice. I do keep a couple of batteries, and I do keep the plug in case I need it. Usually don't need it. And that long battery life, again, is just one less thing to worry about. Plus, the batteries are very easy to change. They're just one lithium ion battery that you just clip into place. You don't have to fool with double A's or anything else like that. It's on the outside back of the unit. So, you just pop it off, pop the other one in, you can do it really quickly. And that is if you even need to change it. So the long battery life is definitely another selling point for me with LED lights. The fourth reason I touched on before, which is they're very cool. They do not generate heat. You don't have to worry about a child accidentally touching them. You don't have to worry about them falling over and burning someone, as they fall on. You don't have to worry about any of that stuff. And the thing that I really like is that they don't heat up the room, so I can leave them on and work. Now, in the very old days, if we weren't using natural light and we wanted continuous lighting, we had to go with hot lights. And they were called hot lights for a reason, because they were very hot. And they would heat up the room right away, and they made the photo subject uncomfortable, they made the photographer uncomfortable, and just overall, they were just a pain. And you had to be careful, even, that you didn't, touch them or the metal that was surrounding them, or literally you would burn yourself. LEDs have none of that. You get the continuous lighting, but they are cool. They do not heat up a room. You can just leave them on and the room temperature stays the same. And I love that. Now, a strobe doesn't really heat up the room either. I mean, that's one of the advantages of a strobe, is that, they remain cool also. But the problem with a strobe is that you're not getting continuous light. So if you have a modeling light on the strobe, maybe, but even then it's approximating the output setting on the strobe. Whereas in this case, you have continuous lighting. That is cool. And, that coolness, that not raising the temperature in the room, especially if you're working in a smaller room that doesn't have a lot of ventilation, is such a big plus with these. So the LED lighting really is magical in this sense. And then my fifth reason is that a lot of these LED lights are actually more affordable than the dedicated strobes, especially the ones from the camera manufacturers themselves. A dedicated flash by a camera manufacturer easily can cost you $350. These LED panels, and I'm not even getting the cheap ones. I'm getting the ones, that are mid-range, I guess, in terms of price. They cost less than $200. And for example, the one that I use a lot is $189 regular price, and when it's on sale, it goes down to $129. I haven't seen it on sale for a while, but if it did again, I would probably pick up another one. And that includes the batteries, that includes the charger, that includes the diffusion panel. So, I think they're really a good value, and they're a great value now compared to even a couple years ago. The prices have really come down on them. And the nice thing about it, the prices have come down enough to where you can get really good rugged units, and they don't cost you a lot. You don't have to go with a cheapie. You can go with, something that, hey, you're going to have for, 5, 8, 10 years. And it might have a nick here and there in the outer case, but other than that, it's still working great. So those are the five things that I really like about LED lights, especially compared to strobes, and, just in general. Is there anything that I don't like about them? that's only fair, right? That's a fair question. Well, here's the trade-off that you're going to have with LED lighting. is that the output of most LED lights isn't as strong as it is with a flash, with a strobe. So, you know, this is where parallel technology development really helps us out. So, yes, a lot of times I'll do a portrait session where I'm shooting at ISO 800 or 1600 with a couple LED lights going, and I'll have them up, you know, full steam, so maximum output. But again, I'm usually putting the main light in a softbox. I'm probably losing a stop or so there because it's, you know, has that diffusion panel in a softbox. And I'm doing it just fine. So I think the fact that it isn't a big deal for us to shoot at ISO 800, 1600, or even 3200 if you need to. I guess if there's a lot of motion and you're using LED lighting, you might want to go up to 3200. You know, that development on the camera side, I think, has made it acceptable for us on the LED light side, you know, to go ahead and use these things for portrait shooting, even if the subject isn't standing perfectly still. But, you know, they do put out less light. And if you need greater output, then, you know, that's probably a situation where you want to use strobe. Another situation, of course, is a stopping action. If you need to stop action or you need help stopping action, then, you know, obviously a strobe will work much better than an LED light. So LED lights are not for every situation. When you need maximum light output or you need to stop action, then those would be the times where strobes would rule over LED lighting. They're not perfect. I'm talking about LED lights. They're not perfect, but for a lot of situations, they're awfully good. LED lighting part two. So I just want to spend a couple minutes talking about how I use the lights on stands and diffusers and all that kind of stuff, just so you have a feel for how these things are put into practice for me. So on the Generay LED panel, when I'm doing portraits or product photography, I put that in a softbox, and I have a small softbox that I use for my camera product photography, and then I have a larger softbox, which will be the picture that you'll see with the show notes. So you can get a good look at the softbox that I use. The larger one is a rectangular one that I use for portrait shooting. So it goes in there, and I have devised these nice little rigs that allow me to easily mount the LED panel inside the softbox. And then I just, you know, reach in there and, you know, turn it on, adjust it, and do all that kind of stuff. I have the panel facing forward through the diffusion material. So I, you know, that way I lose less light. And because the inside of softbox is reflective, you know, they're fairly efficient. Now, I don't think I would use an LED light with an umbrella. I may have at some time, but if I have, I don't remember doing it. And, you know, the main reason why I don't use it with an umbrella, I do use umbrellas with strobes, is the efficiency rating. I don't have as much light to spare, so I want to be as efficient as possible. So my LED lights are going inside of softboxes instead of using umbrellas, and I would never bounce an LED light off an umbrella and then, you know, onto the subject. That way you just lose too much light. Just like I wouldn't use an LED light as a bounce flash and try to bounce it off the ceiling. You know, they're not that bright unless you have, you know, TV studio lights. So inside a softbox, though, I think they're pretty fun. Now, all the LED lights, you know, allow you to mount them on a tripod or a light stand. You know, they have that that threaded opening there. So you have some options, but if you're going to use a softbox, you probably will have to kind of figure out your own rig and how you're going to do that. I have a lot of odds and ends around in my studio from, you know, doing this for so long, so it doesn't take me long to put something together. And then a lot of softboxes will allow you to just go ahead and put your LED light on a light stand with the mounter, a hole there that you can put a softbox pole into, and, you know, you can use it that way, kind of like an umbrella. So, you know, there's all sorts of different things, but I think you're probably going to want some sort of light modifier for your LED light, because, you know, that's where you really kind of get into that really sweet light. Now, LED lights, almost all of them do come with diffusers. And for a lot of situations, and especially when I'm, let's say, shooting environmental portraits in an office building or something like that, I can get by with just using the diffusion panel. In a lot of those situations, group shots, things like that, I can get by with using just the diffusion panel that comes with the LED light. They're actually quite good. However, if I'm using something else like a softbox and I take that diffusion panel off and just go with the bare bulbs, you know, and trying to get as much light efficiency as possible. Mount them on light stands, just like I would my strobe. And, you know, I have, you know, all the mounting kits and all that stuff from all the years. So basically, you know, instead of a strobe going in, you know, the mount, the LED light goes in there, and I can angle it, position it, raise it, lower it, do all that kind of stuff just fine. I don't put LED lights on the camera, like in the hot shoe, because I like having the light sources close to my subject, because again, my rule, you know, the larger the light source, the closer to the subject, the softer the light. So I tend to just have the LEDs either being held by an assistant or on a stand, getting them as close to the subject as possible. If I'm shooting a video, then what I will do is I have like a little bracket that I'll put the LED on so I can get the light up a little higher than just on the top of the camera. That is not my favorite lighting. That is not. So again, very rare that I'll have the light on the camera or on the same plane as a camera. I'm usually moving them around separately for all the good reasons that I talked about earlier. So I thought you just might be interested in a little background on how I use these things. I usually use them bare with their own diffuser, or I put them in a softbox. Either way, they work great. I love them in a softbox. And like I said, there'll be a shot with the show notes where you can see one of my setups that way. How to shoot Annie Leibovitz style group portrait with affordable gear. I thought this would be a nice piece to go with the talk on LED lighting. Although the author of this piece used a couple strobes to do the shot. This was on Petapixel, and I have the link to the original article in the show notes if you want to go take a look at it, which is worth it because as the author talks about how he did this, he has all sorts of pictures that kind of show it step by step, which I think is pretty neat. But the idea is what appealed to me and is what I wanted to talk about in this piece, which is if you have a large group shot, especially somewhere kind of cool, in this case, it was in a castle in Scotland. And so he wanted the feel of the castle. And then I forget how many people he had. It looked like he had about a dozen people in the group shot, maybe even one or two more than that. And as you know, it's really hard to get everyone lit exactly the way that you want in these large group shots and also capture the atmosphere of the location. So a trick that Annie Leibovitz has used successfully over the years is that she will light the group in small groups, individually or in small groups, more or less in position where they'll be in the final shot, as close as possible. And then she'll composite all those shots together. So let's say that it is a group of 12. And let's say that maybe there are seven, you know, small group shots or individual shots that are done. And with the people in position, as they will be, and then you're also shooting the environment also. So then when you're just working with, you know, one or two or three people at a time, then you can really light each of them exactly the way that you want. And, you know, get this lighting really dialed in. And then when you put it all together, it looks really neat. I mean, it looks really neat when you composite it all together. So that's what this article talks about. It talks about, you know, how he did it. He used a Canon 5D Mark II DSLR, a couple of inexpensive Chinese strobes, that cost about $75 each, a pocket wizard, and a 43-inch Westcott bounce umbrella, which is right around $20. And that's all he used for the shoot. And then he was very careful about, you know, the positioning of people and having them where they're going to be in the final composite. And then also, obviously, having some skill at compositing, pulling together these individual shots into one shot. But the final output looks really good. And it's not something that you would do, for example, for a group shot at a wedding, because you just don't have enough time. And of course, you know, you don't want to put that much labor into a shot when you have 800 other shots to deal with. But for a very special occasion, like a family reunion, which I think that's what this was, or you know, a commercial shoot or something like that, this technique is really neat. So go over there and take a look at the article and look at, you know, the way this was done. I've never tried one myself, but after looking at this article and looking at the shots, I really want to. And of course, if I do it, I'm going to do it with LED lighting. It will be even easier for me to adjust the different intensities, you know, on the smaller groups before I put it all together. And again, the name of the article is How to Shoot an Annie Leibovitz Style Group Portrait with Affordable Gear on Petapixel. And I have a link in the show notes for you. I have just a few updates for you. I mentioned last week that I'm going to be working at WildSpeak in November by the International League of Conservation Photographers. And WildSpeak is in Washington, D.C. in November. And I tell you, just like I talked about last week, I think that this is a terrific event. It's a very exciting event. It opened my eyes to the power of conservation photography. All the photographers and biologists and naturalists, they're all very accessible. And, you know, so you can interact with them after they do their talk. And then plus, if you've been thinking about getting involved with conservation photography, this is the place to be. Believe me, you'll come out of there with at least three or four workable ideas of stuff that you can do to get involved. So it's just really neat. November 14th and 15th in Washington, D.C. Terrific event. I have a link to it in the show notes. And as I said, that if you're interested in conservation photography, learning more or getting involved, this is the place to be in November. It's early in the month, and so more than ever, it's time for me to thank our Patreon members for supporting the show, for being members of our inner circle. And that's because they just saw $5 show up on their Visa card, or however they contribute their support. And again, for me, this time of month, when, you know, Red River Paper, when they pay their sponsor fees, when the Patreon members all kick in, and, you know, my bills show up this time of month, and then this money comes in this time of month, and it just works out terrific. And so a big thanks to our Patreon members for just making, you know, my life more manageable in terms of keeping this show on the air. I really appreciate your support. And finally, speaking of Red River Paper, I'm going to do a job on Red River Paper here really soon. And, you know, all of this comes about because, you know, they are constantly adding new products to their product line. They're constantly trying to come up with paper stocks and surfaces that, you know, real photographers want, that artists want, that people who exhibit that they want. And that's the kind of stuff that you can get on this site. Yes, you can get the 5x7 and the 4x6 cut paper, and I use that also. I use it all the time. But you can also get the really good stuff, and that's the stuff that I really appreciate them for. They have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story and have a terrific Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. Alrighty, that's going to do it for me this week. Guess what? I am heading out right now to Drone World Expo in San Jose. So I'm going to be seeing what's going on there. You know, this is new for me. I just started flying this year. I've been learning about the technology. I'm going to go in and learn a lot more, and then I'll bring back the juicy tidbits for you. I'm anticipating that it's going to open my eyes to a lot of different aspects of this type of photography, of aerial photography. Same way that going to WildSpeak opened my eyes to conservation photography. So I'll be talking more about that next week. Wish me luck. You have a great week. I'll go learn about drones, and then we'll meet back here next Tuesday. Until then, bye-bye now.